Good morning. If you will, turn with me back in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, this will be our text. I suppose most of you are probably somewhat familiar with the story of Jonah. Specifically, the fact that he wound up in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. But this morning, I would like us to consider this perhaps in a different light than maybe we have before. I want to go through chapter 1, verse by verse, and I want us to see God's goodness to Jonah. Now, as we go through this, I want us to try to put ourselves in Jonah's shoes. I pray we can put ourselves in his place and not only see God's goodness to him with what happened to him and what the Lord did to him and for him, but I pray that we might be able to see God's goodness to us. All right. Jonah chapter 1. Let's start in verse 1 again. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We just read the word of God. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah was a believer. He was a child of God. And not only that, he was a prophet. He was a prophet of God. God gave him his word and God commanded him, Jonah, you're going to go to Nineveh and you're going to preach the word that I've given you. You're going to go to that great city. It was a great metropolis city, the capital of Assyria. And you're going to go and you're going to preach to them. And what you're going to do is you're going to cry out against them. And that we need to understand that's what this word declares, our wickedness. Cry out against their wickedness. What do we read Jonah did when the Lord commanded him to do this? What did he do? But Jonah. Jonah had other plans, didn't he? Jonah had something else in mind. And it's a serious matter, okay? Not only did he disobey the Lord, had no regard for his command. Look what it says there. It says in verse 3, he rose up to flee, it says, from the presence of the Lord. Before I go any further, I just want us to pause and put ourselves in his place right here. Disobeyed God. God spoke to him. And he said, nope. Mm-mm. And a few months ago, I brought a message, no God. It's all of us, isn't it? It's all of us. Jonah, he fled the presence of the Lord, or at least that's what he intended to do. And I'll say this, for a child of God, that's just not possible. Though we may think we're going off, he said, I'll never leave you. You can try to leave me if you want to, but if we're his, we're his. There's no leaving his presence. But nonetheless, Jonah set off to go his own way. And I'll just say this, as far as trying to make sense of this, why would a prophet of God not go preach as God commands him to go? Why? How can we understand that? Well, kind of like looking at Jacob. Jonah was a Jacob. Jonah was a Jacob. And what I mean by that is Jonah was a sinner. God saved him by his grace, but he was still a sinner nonetheless. And that's so for every child of God, saved by grace, but we're still sinners in this flesh. Still sinners. And you know what sinners do? Dumb things. Sinners do dumb things. God said, Jonah, go east. Jonah said, well, I think I'll just go west. And two, Nineveh was a much shorter journey. I read that it was about 725 miles to the east. You know how far Tarshish was to the west? 3,000 miles. We do dumb things, don't we? Oh, my. Jonah, I can just see him going down to Joppa. I don't know how far it was to Joppa. It doesn't appear very far. He goes down to Joppa and he sees all these ships And I can just see him running as fast as he can, asking, where's the next ship to Tarshish? I got to get on that ship. And he found one. He got on a ship heading to Tarshish. It says he paid the fare thereof and off he went. He went his way. Went his way. Well, look what verse 4 says. It says, but the Lord. But the Lord. Well, I'm going to go do this. But the Lord. Who has their way? Did Jonah, did he really think he was going to get away with this? Oh, no. But the Lord. I kind of skipped over it, but in verse 3 it says, when he found that ship, he paid the fare thereof. And whenever we disobey God, there is a price to pay. And I'm not saying that to be scary. I will say it's a serious thing to disobey God at all. And as the child of God and as his prophet, to blatantly disregard his command. Surely Jonah did not think he's going to get away with this. Surely God is going to fulfill his purpose, right? He's God. What he's saying is there's going to be something. Jonah's going to have to answer for what he did. All right. He's going to have to give an account for the poor decision that he was making. And we see it in verse 4. Read it with me. It says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Didn't take very long. I don't know how long the boat had been out in the water. I suspect not too long. Because Jonah still had to go to Nineveh. And I'm not going to show you, but in the following chapters, Jonah goes to Nineveh. All right, but something's got to happen before then. And what happened is God sent a storm. And we also looked at this a while back in Nahum chapter 1, where we saw God's goodness clearly declared. Well, he said in Nahum 1 verse 3, the Lord hath his way. How often we think, well, wish I could just have my way, or we go our own way just like Jonah did. But we need to understand God has his way. God has his way with everything, and he has his way with us. And I love what it goes on to say. He hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And that's exactly what God sent here. He sent a whirlwind. He sent a mighty, a strong, tempestuous wind and storm. And I'll tell you this. If you've ever been out on a boat, wind is probably not your friend. I've been on a boat and they just turned the motor off for a second and I was scared to death. Just being rocked back and forth by the gentle waves. All right. These were no gentle waves. This was a storm like they had never seen before. And I'm going to focus a little bit through this message on the people on the ship with Jonah. Okay. Jonah wasn't the only one on this ship. It said he got on the ship with them. Who are these people? Well, look at verse 5 right here. It says, then the mariners or the sailors were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship to lighten it of them. Jonah wasn't the only one affected by this storm. And I guess this would be a good time to say this too. When we sin, it doesn't just affect us. When we make poor choices, it don't just affect us. Most of us here, we have loved ones or we have friends, other people who we affect, right? Jonah, he sinned and God sent this storm. But here are some other men on this ship with him. Again, I don't know how many. John Gill wrote, he supposed maybe about 70 men and that they were all from a different country, which we'll see a good picture of that here in a minute. But anyway, they're on this boat and this storm is bad. And they were fully expecting this ship to break. Where it says the ship was like to be broken, my margin says it was thought to be broken. It became pretty obvious to them, this is no ordinary storm. This is not going to end well for us. This boat's going to break. This boat's going to sink. And you notice what they did. They start throwing stuff off the boat. I don't know what all they had on the boat, but anything heavy, any heavy equipment that's weighing it down, they start throwing it off. We know what that's a picture of, don't we? Well, we see we're in trouble. We got to start getting rid of some things and got to start shaping up. that's not the answer. Another story. When we were on our cruise a few years ago, there was one I'd never been on anything like that. I'd never been out in the middle of the ocean, and just that thought scared me beforehand. I just trusted the Lord that it would all be okay. Well, one night a storm came to us on the ship, and I just started seeing everything just kind of going back and forth, and I was uneasy. I was very uneasy. I remember we were laying in the bed, and I could just hear stuff rolling back and forth, stuff falling around, and I was scared to death that boat might sink. All right. That was nothing. That was nothing. We were fine. If I could have just spoken to the captain, I guarantee you I would have felt so at peace. All right. There was no peace to be had here. They say this was like unto a hurricane, a terrible, terrible storm. And what do? When storms come our way, when a hard trial hits you in life, what's the first thing this natural flesh does? It gets religious, doesn't it? Do you see what it said there in verse 5, what they did before they started chucking everything? It says, every one of them, they started crying out unto their gods. Each man had a different god. And they start crying out to this god and that god, hoping that one of their gods would be able to do something for them. Well, let me ask you this. While all this is going on, where's Jonah? What's Jonah doing? Is he crying out to his god? Look at the end of verse 5. It says, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. I'm fully convinced Jonah didn't have a clue in the world what was going on. I can just picture him because I can see myself and what I would have done. As soon as he got on that boat, he thought, whew, I don't have to go to Nineveh. I escaped that one. I'm going to Tarshish, this beautiful city, and I'm just going to have a grand old time. I'm going to do my own thing. And he gets on that boat and he goes down and finds a place to lay his head. I'm sure he'd been awake for a while. You know, we waste a lot of time disobeying God, don't we? He finds him a bed and he lays down and off to sleep he goes. And it says he was fast asleep. Reading about this, looking up, he was in a deep sleep. One man even said unconscious. He was totally unaware of the things that were happening. He was unaware that God had sent a judgment because of him. And we're going to see that here in a minute. But I thought about this when reading Jonah's ignorance. Jonah's willful ignorance and his great sin against God. His physical sleep was a good picture of spiritual sleep. Jonah needed to wake up. And I'm telling you, as we are in this flesh, before God saves us, this whole world that doesn't know God, I pray God would wake them up. And as a child of God, as we often slumber and sleep, may God wake us up. I mean that, and I'm talking to me first and foremost. May God wake us up. The psalmist said in Psalm 13, verse 3, O Lord, my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I don't want to sleep the sleep of death. I don't want to live my whole life sinning against God with no care, no concern or regard for His holiness or my sin or the judgment that is coming. May God wake us up. Jonah needed to wake up, and God used the man to wake him up. Verse 6 says, so the shipmaster, the captain, came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be, that God will think upon us, that we perish not. To have the captain going through searching the boat, you know it was bad, don't you? I'm sure they would exhaust every other person on that boat to go take care of things before taking the captain away from his steer. And here this captain comes, a lost man. He comes to Jonah. He finds him asleep and says, what in the world are you doing? How are you sleeping right now? Do you not know what's going on? We're all crying to our gods and nothing's changed. Why don't you cry to your God? Maybe he'll be able to do something for us. Maybe he'll be able to save us from this terrible storm. Something changed right here to Jonah. You put yourself in his shoes. Imagine the shame and the guilt that man must have felt at this moment. Being rebuked by an unbeliever. Wake up. Don't you see the storm that's going on? Now the captain and these men on the boat, they didn't yet know that it was because of Jonah. But there's one person who did know it was because of Jonah, and that's Jonah. You better believe, the moment he saw that storm, he knew exactly what was going on. God woke him up. And when he did, I guarantee you, he started crying out to his God. He knew his God was able to deliver. He knew his God and his God alone was able to save from this terrible storm. Look at verse 7. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. These were some religious men who did not know God. Okay, we know that because they were crying out to all sorts of little g gods, and they were trying to save themselves. But they knew this storm was so bad. They were absolutely convinced this has to be an act of divine judgment. It just has to be. These were experienced sailors. These men lived their life on the sea, their trade, their work. That's what they did. They knew the sea better than anybody. I'm sure they've navigated through tons of storms, but they've never seen a storm like this. They thought that, though they didn't know God, they knew this was some supernatural storm. Somebody has done something to cause this. Somebody has sinned a great sin for this to happen. And let me point out, they didn't think it was them. None of those men who were praying unto their own gods. They didn't feel any guilt of their own. But they thought, we're going to find out who's responsible for this. We're going to find out who's to blame here. And at the end of verse 7, it says, so they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Now, this matter of casting lots, I've read about it, and I don't really know how to explain it. Some say they rolled some dice, and, oh, what do you know? It landed this one. Some say they drew names, and, whoop, it's Jonah. And you think, well, how can you know? How can that be reliable? It sounds kind of superstitious. It does. Well, we know this. Proverbs 16, verse 33 says, the lot's cast into the lap. The whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. God was going to make sure these men knew Jonah had sinned against him. And this storm was sent because of Jonah. Now, put yourself in the shoes of these sailors. At this moment, how would you feel if you found out this stranger has joined himself to your ship? Perhaps all of those people knew each other, but they didn't know Jonah. And then you find out it's because of him. What would you do? Well, let's see what they did. Verse 8, then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? They started interrogating him, asking him all these questions. Who are you? Why are you here? Why'd you get on our boat? Where are you from? Where were you born? Who in the world are you? What have you done? They suspected he must be some notorious sinner. He must be a special kind of bad sinner. And they were right. They were right. See, Jonah needed to be asked these questions. Just like Jacob needed to be asked, what's your name? Just like Adam needed to be asked, where are you? What'd you do? We need to be asked these questions. We need to be confronted with the truth of who we are, our whole story, what we've done, what we deserve. Our sin must be exposed. And I don't mean you need to expose my sin. I pray that our love will cover one another's sin. But our sin must be exposed before God. God sees everything. Everything. We all have secret sins, don't we? Things we just die if other people found out, wouldn't we? God knows it. God knows everything. And here Jonah had been exposed. Jonah had been found out. And we finally see Jonah speak here in verse 9. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Jonah speaks. What does he say? You're right to be questioning me. I am a notorious sinner. He said, but I'm a child of God. I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. You're all crying out to this God and that God. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, the one and only God. There's only one God. And I fear Him. I worship Him. This sea that's raging against us, He made it. And right now, He's having His way in it with me and with you. That dry land you're trying to get to, He made it. The only way we're going to get to that dry land is, Lord, if you will. See, in confessing to these men who He was, Jonah could not help but tell them who God was. And here's where the story starts turning for the better. The storm's still raging. Things are still looking very bad for Jonah and for these men. But here's where things truly start to change. Now look at verse 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid. They were with great fear. And they said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Why would you sin against such a holy God? Why would you blatantly disobey his command? Why didn't you just go to Nineveh? Why didn't you just do what he commanded you to do? You realize you wouldn't be in this mess, right? Why'd you have to get on our boat? There were so many boats. You had to get on ours. You had to bring your trouble to us. Why did you do that? Why? They were mad at him. And I would have been too. I would have been too. And though Jonah was guilty, and he was guilty, no excusing it. Jonah was guilty. It was all his fault. But I have no doubt, Jonah, he probably got a little mad at these men too. And I have no doubt he took this blessed opportunity to cry out against their wickedness. God had told him, you go to Nineveh, you cry out against their wickedness, it's great. Well, here these men are, these self-righteous Pharisees. Well, thanks a lot. This is all your fault. This storm wouldn't have come if you weren't here. And Jonah, I'm sure he told them, you know what? God, I know for a fact God sent this storm because of me. But even if I'd never stepped foot on this boat, he'd have been right to send it because of you. That's what the gospel declares, isn't it? We deserve God's wrath. We deserve his judgment. We don't deserve a calm. It's the last thing we deserve. Well, how do these men like that? How do they like hearing such a thing? Verse 11. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. It means it grew more and more tempestuous. This storm just kept getting worse and worse. And they knew, we've got to do something. Something must be done or we're all going to perish. And that was true. Something had to be done. And here's what they thought. Well, this man's the problem. If it wasn't for him, this wouldn't have happened. So we probably just need to get rid of him. But here's what they also thought. Well, he appears to be a prophet of God, so I don't know that we can just throw him out here to die. Then God will surely judge us. They were torn. They didn't know what to do. It was a loss either way, as far as they were concerned. And so they asked Jonah, what do we do? And I ask you, what do we do? We've all sinned against God Almighty. And there's a storm coming. The time, the exact moment of our storm has been appointed. There's storms of life. There's troubles, but then there's trouble. What shall we do? Is there any hope for a sinner like me? Look at verse 12. Jonah said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Jonah wasn't sleeping anymore. He was wide awake and he was in his right mind. God woke him up. God gave him faith in that moment to believe God, and he knew what had to be done. He knew what he had to do. He said, you take me. You're right. I am the guilty one here. You take me, you lift me up, and you cast me forth into the sea, and there will be a calm unto you. Imagine how scared he must have been saying that. Like I said, God gave him faith to believe, gave him faith to do what had to be done. Often our pastor will mention, what if this is the last time? What if this is the very last time I get to stand and preach the glorious gospel of God? Jonah, he probably thought, this is the last time I'm getting to preach the gospel of God. And he took advantage of that opportunity. When the verse 12 here is such a glorious picture of the gospel. He told them about the Messiah who was to come. He told them about the one, the beloved Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come, who must be lifted up, who must suffer, bear our sins and our shame and our guilt, and die, be cast into the sea of God's wrath and God's judgment, be cast into the lowest hell to save some worthless sinners like us. I love thinking about what a message that must have been. Literally knowing, I'm about to die. I'm literally going to jump into this water, be thrown off, and that's it. These men need to hear the gospel. God gave him faith to preach the gospel, and it blesses my heart just to think about it. But look at their response in verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. For the sea wrought, it was getting worse and worse, it was tempestuous against them. They heard Jonah preach the gospel and they thought, no, there's got to be another way. Surely this man does not have to die to save us. Well, how'd that work out for them? They tried, they rowed, they dig hard and hard, and it says, but they could not. Had no ability to save themselves. They could not. They couldn't outpower God. That was God who was raging against them. That was God's hand controlling that mighty storm that they could not prevail against. Brethren, we're no match for God. We know that, but it's a good reminder. We're no match for God. God's going to have his way every time. All right. These men, they finally found themselves in a glorious place. At the mercy of God, helpless, totally, utterly helpless, hopeless. Lord, we're at your mercy. Now, I'll show you that. Look at verse 14. Wherefore they cried unto thee, Lord. Moments ago, they were crying unto their gods, their false gods, their idols, who could do nothing for them. Now they're crying out to Jehovah, God Almighty. What changed? I'll tell you what changed. God did not break their ship. He broke those in the ship. He broke those men. Oh, he broke those men. They worked and worked and worked and tried and tried and tried and cried to these gods that could not save. Jonah preached the gospel to them. They kept on trying. Then they stopped. They had no choice but to believe God, whom Jonah had declared unto them. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he'll show you today. These mighty sailors were now helpless sinners. And I pray we can see ourselves in these sailors too. What a blessing. Verse 14 says, "Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." They knew, we've got to do what Jonah said. We have no other option. And here they are praying unto God for faith to do it. They were reluctant to throw him out. Wouldn't you be? Would you want to have the blood of a man of God on your hands? They did not take this lightly. They wanted to make sure that this was the Lord's will for them. And they did. At this point, I said a minute ago, they were furious with Jonah. Rightfully so. But at this point, I'm convinced they loved Jonah because he preached the gospel to them. Oh, a man preaches the gospel to you, especially the man whom the Lord uses to bring you to a knowledge of Christ. You love that man. How must they have felt to know we're going to have to throw him out and he's going to die to save us, worthless sinners? They were reluctant to do it, but God gave them faith to act. Verse 15, "So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea." What happened? "And the sea ceased from her raging." When Christ died in our place, when His precious holy blood was shed to cover our sins, to put them away as far as the east is from the west, what happened? There was a calm. There is a calm unto us. All for whom Christ died are saved. He suffered the wrath of God, the storm that we had coming. He did it voluntarily. Like John, he volunteered himself. He cast himself right into it for us because of his love for us. Amazing, amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Verse 16 says, "Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows." How thankful they must have been. Not only had God delivered them from the storm that they thought was surely going to kill them, God saved their souls from everlasting destruction. It says they offered a sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice do you think? I read people think, oh, well, they... It was, here's what it was, brethren. It was a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of praise and thanks. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Whereas moments ago they had been so upset that Jonah ever stepped foot on their boat and brought this disaster their way, here they are praising God for letting Jonah disobey him and step on that ship. Because had he not, they may have never been saved. Saved from their sin. What goodness. What kindness from a merciful covenant God. It says they made vows. I don't know exactly what vows they vowed, but I know they vowed this. Lord, from this day forward, we're going to worship one God. And that's you. The one true living God, the God of heaven and earth, the triune Jehovah God. You see God's goodness here? Say, well, I thought the message was God's goodness to Jonah. It is. Well, what happened to Jonah? Verse 17 says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah." So he didn't die in a storm. He died in a fish. No. No, read chapter 2. He prayed while he was in the belly of that fish. I bet he prayed the whole 3 days and three nights he was in the fish. God in mercy prepared that fish for him. You read his prayer. I don't know. I kind of suspect that Jonah started sinking. He thought, I'm going to die. I deserve to die. In my mind, I just picture him taking his last breath. And then, here comes that fish. The Lord prepared for him. He ordained that fish. You're at this exact second, this man's going to get thrown off a boat. And then at this exact second, you're going to go right here and you're going to swallow him up. You mean to tell me God would do that? Absolutely He would. Absolutely He would. Even after he sinned against God as his prophet? Yep. Does it surprise you God would do such a thing? In one way, yes, but in another way, no. He's a merciful God, isn't he? Gracious, kind, loving God. Jonah didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it, but praise God, he freely gave. Freely gave himself. He gave everything. Like I said, there was no excuse for Jonah's sin. Even though we see the good that came from it, it wasn't because of Jonah. The storm came because of Jonah. Judgment came because of Jonah. But praise God, as was the case with Joseph, God overrules our evil for good to accomplish his purpose, salvation in the earth. Now look at verse 17 again. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. We see ourselves in Jonah by his sin and disobedience, don't we? I pray we do. That's us. But I pray we also see Christ in Jonah. That's who Jonah in the belly of that fish represented. Jonah pictured Christ as the substitute for those sailors. All right. You know that whale represents Christ as the substitute for Jonah? 3 days and three nights. And out you're going to come. I'll show you this in closing. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The reason God put Jonah in the belly of that whale, the reason God sent the storm, the reason God let his servant disobey him like he did, is so that we might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ like those sailors did and be saved. Not from the storms of this life, but from the storm of eternal wrath and damnation. Oh, what goodness. Praise God for his goodness to Jonah. Praise God for his goodness to those sailors and to Nineveh. And praise God for his goodness to us. Amen.